Our gospel lesson is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 35 through 43, as we continue in our series in Luke, and where we find these words of our loving Lord, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 35. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of David, Lamb of God, we come to you just as we are, asking that you would have mercy on us in these moments together. By the ministry of your Holy Spirit, speak to us your grace. Grant us the eyes of faith to see you, hearts to love and adore you, and feet to follow you, giving all glory to our Father who sent you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as we considered last week, Jesus was making his final pilgrimage to Jerusalem. As we considered last week from verses 31 and through 34, he was going up to Jerusalem to be betrayed by one of his friends to the Jewish authorities who hated him, handed over to the Romans who had the authority to execute him. He was going up to Jerusalem to be mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon, flogged, and killed, and on the third day, rise from the dead. He had set his face to go there, knowing fully what he was getting into in order to save you and me. We also considered that Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem through Jericho. Luke says that this miraculous event before us this morning took place as he was drawing near to Jericho. Matthew and Mark tell us that this event took place as Jesus and his followers were leaving Jericho. Perhaps this difference can be explained from the fact that there were, in fact, two Jerichos. There was the original Jericho, where Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. And then about a mile south of that site was the new Jericho. So it is possible that Matthew and Mark were referencing the old Jericho from which Jesus was leaving, and Luke was talking about the new Jericho which Jesus was approaching. Whatever the case, Jesus was moving forward resolutely toward Jerusalem in order to fulfill the Father's will. What was the Father's will? To save us, to rescue us, to redeem us, to save us from Satan and sin, death, and hell. These weightiest of all matters were weighing on the heart of our Savior. They were filling his heart and mind. And yet, as we've seen before, he didn't let this keep him from meeting with and loving on actual people, the ones he was going to Jerusalem to save. Here, he met with a blind beggar and granted him sight. Let's consider this miracle of our Lord and how it applies to us under two headings this morning. First, how Jesus gave the blind beggar eyes to see physically. And second, how Jesus gives us eyes to see spiritually. He gives all of his people, all the children of the Heavenly Father, eyes to see spiritually. First, how Jesus gave the blind beggar eyes to see physically. As we have emphasized throughout our study of Luke, Jesus came into this world to restore what he had made. What he had made had been damaged by the fall of mankind into sin. Satan, through his deception and destructive powers, has marred this creation that God had made. Jesus came to make all things new. He came on a renovation project, the greatest renovation project. I mean, HGTV just couldn't cover it. It's that big. The greatest renovation project of all time. Jesus is in the business of renewing all who look to him in faith spiritually. And he is also in the business of renewing his physical creation. This perfect renewal will be accomplished when he returns in glory and heals us and gives us perfect resurrection bodies and remakes his creation to be one without disease or death. Only health and life will characterize the new creation. Sometimes he gives us a glimpse of what is to come by healing his image bearers in the here and now. This was certainly the case during his earthly ministry. His physical miraculous healings were signs pointing to the fact that he was the Messiah sent by God, the Christ, the anointed one who came to redeem that which was lost in the fall. He is the anointed one of Isaiah 42, which Dennis read for us earlier. He is the servant described there, the one upon whom God put his spirit, the one who is gentle. A bruised reed he does not break, and a faintly burning wick he does not quench. In other words, he, Almighty God, in the flesh, does not bully or berate the needy. He helps them with his tenderness and love. As such, he came to open the eyes of the blind and bring out of prison those who sit in darkness. He did this in a most amazing way for the blind beggar as he sat along the roadside of Jericho, this man who literally was sitting in darkness. The man heard, though, he could hear, and he heard the crowd that was following Jesus passing by him. So he asked those around him, "What's going on?" It reminds me of several years ago when I was in Scotland working on my PhD, and I had a day off and a Saturday. And so I left from where I was staying in Aberdeen, sort of the new part of Aberdeen, and I was going to walk to the old part of Aberdeen. It's kind of a new Jericho, old Jericho situation. And I was going to walk and see some of the beautiful historic buildings there in Old Aberdeen. And so I was walking from where I was staying, had gotten about two or three blocks up the street there, and I saw a crowd gathering. And I thought, okay, the Old Aberdeen's over here, but there's a crowd gathering here. I'm going to walk and I'm going to find out what's going on. So I got up there and I asked some people, what's going on? And they said, well, Prince Charles is about to come out and unveil a new statue, a new monument. And I said, well, I got to stick around for this. And sure enough, here comes the Prince of England, now the King of England. And I was pretty close to him, and I got video to prove that it actually happened. So something similar was going on here, only this was the Prince of Peace. This was the King of Kings. Blind Bartimaeus was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And so, what did he do? Well, this man had heard of this king. He had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard enough to believe that he was the long-promised Messiah. Again, the one that Dennis read about from Isaiah 42, the one who came to heal what he had made, the one who came to open the eyes of the blind and to deliver from darkness those who were in prison. He had likely heard of the way that Jesus was healing those who were afflicted and granting forgiveness to those who looked to him in faith. So he cried out to Jesus, boldly, courageously. He cried out to Jesus. He didn't just ask somebody else to go stop Jesus. He called out to the King, Jesus, Son of David, that wonderful kingly title, have mercy on me. Matthew, in his account of this episode, in Matthew chapter 20, tells us that there are actually two blind men who were crying out like this to Jesus. Luke chose to focus on just one of them, and Mark actually gives us his name, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, or son of honor. When Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, naming him the Son of David, the long-promised Savior King, those who were in front of him, we are told in verse 39, rebuked him. Now, this whole rebuking thing is starting to sound familiar, isn't it? They rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Again, that reminds us of some things that happened earlier in Luke's gospel, earlier even here in chapter 18, when people were bringing their infants to Jesus that he might bless them, and Jesus' own disciples rebuked them. They tried to shoo them away. Why did they do it? Well, as we discussed then, they reasoned that Jesus didn't have time for such little people, such helpless ones who had nothing to offer him, no theological conversation to have for him, no good works to perform for him. As yet, they did not understand why Jesus had come. They did not understand the greatness of his grace. His grace is so great, it extends to the littlest of people. He had come for the very purpose of helping the helpless and saving them by his grace, saving those who receive him with the empty hands of faith, those who receive him with childlike faith. Here, when the crowd rebuked this helpless one, what did he do? He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I love it. It is an amazing picture of what we might call defiant faith. Defiant faith. Naming the name of Jesus Even when you're told not to. Even when you're told to keep quiet. Calling on His grace when there are forces seeking to keep you from Him and His grace. And we have to remember that. There's always forces seeking to keep you from Jesus and His grace. Forces of evil, forces of legalism, forces that would seek to keep you from His grace. Bartimaeus was having none of it. He called out all the more. And notice Jesus' response in verse 40. Jesus stopped. This one who was resolutely making his way to Jerusalem to save us, he hears a cry for mercy. Similar as we heard earlier in Luke 18, the tax collector of the temple. God have mercy on me. This is a word that Jesus pays attention to, if you will. Mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a gracious Lord we have. What a generous Lord we have. And the man said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight." In the original, it's just one word. He said, "See." S-E-E. See. "Your faith has made you well." Could be translated, "Your faith has saved you." It's not just a physical healing, as amazing as that was. It was a spiritual healing, too. In Matthew's account, Matthew says that Jesus pitied the man. He was moved with compassion, and he touched him. Immediately, the man recovered his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Once again, Jesus surprised those who were following him with the height, depth, and wideness of his mercy. He came from heaven in order to come into the lives of needy people who call on his name. Notice that Jesus wanted this man to articulate what he wanted. He wanted this man to speak to him. I mean, Jesus could tell already the needs of this man. He could tell he was blind. He could tell he wanted healing. But Jesus wanted him to ask for it. In other words, Jesus didn't just want to heal this man, as amazing as that was. Jesus wanted a relationship with this man. He wanted a relationship with this man in which this man would talk to him and cast his cares upon him, knowing that Jesus cared for him. And Jesus commended him for doing so. He honored this man's faith, the defiant, persistent faith of this man, whose name means son of honor. Jesus honors this man whose name means son of honor. Nobody else was showing him any honor. Jesus did. He honored him for his faith. And this son of honor began with eyes to see, following Jesus as his disciple to the glory of God. And our second point this morning, how Jesus gives us eyes to see spiritually. These physical healings of Jesus in the Gospels point to spiritual realities, what the God of grace does for those who entrust themselves to him. Jesus is not only a physical ophthalmologist, who healed this man's sight and will heal the sight of all his people when he comes again. Friends, there won't even be glasses in the new heavens and new earth. Won't that be nice? Those of us who have to wear these, we look forward to that. There won't even be glasses in the new heavens and the new earth. We'll have perfect eyes, every one of us, to see each other, to see this amazingly renewed creation, and ultimately to see our Savior and to worship Him. But Jesus is also a spiritual ophthalmologist for those who ask Him to give them eyes to see Him more clearly, so they can follow Him more faithfully. It is interesting in Matthew and Mark's account of this healing, they place the infamous story of James and John and their mom just before it. Just before this story in the way they organized their gospels, their gospel accounts. You may remember that James and John and their mom came to Jesus and said, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Exact same question he asked Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Grant us," James and John, "to sit one at your right hand and one on your at your left hand in your glory." Jesus went on to explain that they didn't know what they were asking for. And he reminded them that even the Son of Man, God Himself in the flesh, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. So we might ask ourselves, which of these best describes what we want right now in our lives? Do I want the power, the place of prestige and recognition that James and John wanted? This kind of worldly triumph? Do I want that for my children? Like their mom wanted it for them? Or do I want what Bartimaeus wanted? Do I want to see Jesus more clearly and be fed by His grace and experience His presence so that I can follow Him more faithfully? As we come to this meal of grace, let us ask Jesus to give us a heart for Him, the heart that Bartimaeus had for Him. Let us ask Jesus, by the power of His Spirit, to grant us eyes to see Him, to really see His incarnation and His death, what He went through in Jerusalem for us, His redeeming love for us. And grant us as beggars, the beggars that we are, apart from His grace, the beggars that we are, that we might feed upon His body and blood, feed upon Him, to experience His grace, that we might go from this place following Him for His honor and His glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.